Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris on Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Thanks for joining the show. It's been a while. If you saw in the post of the actual show, it's been 2 months since I did an Around the ATL episode of Side Notes. We have a regular show that's 2 hours, and I created Side Notes to kind of be like a segue in between the two-hour show that we do, but lately, we haven't even been able to do the two-hour show. My work schedule has been very hectic over the last few months, along with my co-host, Jordan Jackson. We hope to get back on the horse, so to speak, soon, with baseball season being here. Around the ATL, if you didn't know, we talk Braves, Hawks, Falcons, United, Dream, UGA, all the college teams, basically everything in Georgia and Atlanta. As you can see, Around the ATL, All Sports, All Atlanta. So definitely, you know, for those who've never watched or heard the show, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page. You can see that at the bottom. You can also follow along on Twitter, Intellect ATL and Jordan 23 ATL, as well as the IMTM radio page as well. Also the IMTM Worldwide radio page on Facebook and Instagram, but for sure subscribe to the YouTube page. Now, before I get started, I do want to say this before I even go into my show intro. Saying something just for the sake of saying something is not good journalism. I understand the controversy part, but just to say something because you have nothing else to say and to say things without context and also actually knowing what the actual true answer is, and saying something that's the complete opposite and actually just wrong is not good journalism. And I know some of you probably know what I'm kind of going towards, the Atlanta Falcons. And the things that I've seen out there in the public spectrum and news organization, I didn't get my water, news organizations, podcasts and other and all the ones that are in the know, the ones that have power, the ones that have all the views and everything, some of them are doing it because that's the only way anybody would watch or care to actually pay attention to anything they say. Because to say things without context, without having a vested interest in something especially, is just a recipe for a disaster. And we're going to do a whole show about this eventually on Around the ATL, talking Atlanta Falcons football. But to continue to fawn over someone that hasn't played in a decade plus, and supposedly we have to get this person to replace that person who also didn't win the Falcons a Super Bowl, didn't win the NFC, was never an MVP, but we're supposed to get this other person just because? Doesn't that just seem just out of bounds to a lot of y'all? Because none of the other teams in the NFL got them either, right? And this is off topic. I had to say it, though. Saints, Tampa Bay, Patriots, Raiders, like none of these teams. And none of those teams are getting any grief. But the Falcons, for some reason, don't that just bother you just a little bit? What some of these people are actually saying about our owner and the fan base? And the current black quarterback, want to throw it out there, just seems strange to me. All right, let's go into the intro. And again, thanks for everybody who's watching tonight. Now, the radio, oh goodness, I keep forgetting that. So the radio program is up. I did turn it on. So if you want to call into the show, 646-652-4479 is the number. There it is right there. So you can go and check that out. But let's go ahead and get into the intro a little bit. So first of all, thanks again for those who are choosing to watch the show tonight. I already mentioned what Side Notes is about. I'll say it again. I created it as a segue between the actual two-hour show that we do for Around the ATL. We used to do Wednesdays at 10 o'clock, changed it to Tuesdays. Haven't done a two-hour show in quite a bit. So we're going to try to get back on the horse as far as that goes very soon. But check out the show, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Odyssey, Alexa, Blog Talk Radio. You can listen on all those platforms. And again, make sure you subscribe to the IMTM Worldwide Radio YouTube channel, so that way you can actually watch the live stream. Now, if you see down there at the bottom, Price Design Club is the company that actually sponsors our show. They're the ones who gave us the first Around the ATL t-shirt. Shout out to Price Design Club for that. But they also designed the first two logos of Around the ATL. If you saw the intro, you saw the first logo. I forget that I haven't updated the intro in a while. So that was the first logo. Here's the second one right here. So thank you for that. But they've also designed some other projects for me as well. So if you want a professional design team to really take your company to another level and help, you know, present your company to other people, make sure you hit them up on Instagram. That's Price Design Club on Instagram. Excuse me. I got to get some water in a second. But they specialize in different types of design. And they're very professional, they're very timely, but they really get what you need. They just don't put something together just for the sake of putting it together, so keep that in mind. So just make sure you go to Price Design Club on Instagram. Let them know Around the ATL sent you. So let's talk about the show tonight. So based on the conversation I had on Twitter, this was a couple of days ago, Long Live Kofi is on Twitter, and here's the point of emphasis for tonight. So, you don't think that the number four pick in the draft, who just got a major contract extension, by the way, should be better than he is right now? When I say better, I mean better. Whatever you think that word means, I mean better. And then, you don't think he should be better than the other small forwards in the East? And I'm not talking about your top five small forwards in the East necessarily. But you don't think he should at least be better than the ones who are technically below him in different items or categories and things of that nature, or just name-wise even? You don't think he should at least be better than those guys? But why not think he should be top five small forward in the East, per him being the number four pick, being a national champion, having all the skill sets, seeing what he's actually done sometimes? Right? In a small little ball, we've seen some greatness out of him sometimes, but not all the time. And why is that, right? So we are not supposed to have an expectation of that, and we're supposed to just kind of be happy about it and just sit and take it and not hope for more and want more, because if he was that, wouldn't we be better as a team overall? Remember, when Kevin got his extension, let me go ahead and finish this up. So when Kevin got his extension, right, he got his extension after 3 years of averaging 12 points a game or less. And then he came into the next season. You know what he did? Gave us another season of 12 points a game or less. And if you saw my video, and I'm actually going to go ahead and post this onto the chat room page, if you saw the video I did in regards to Kevin, here is the video. Paste. Make sure that's the right one. I think it is. Oh, it's not sending. Remember, I told you I'd be a little rusty tonight. I hadn't done this in a while. There it is. If you watch the video I did in regards to Kevin, I broke down the first 20 games of the 2021 season and then added 14 more games that the Hawks lost by 14 points or less to show you exactly what he did as opposed to what you think he did in all those games production-wise, okay? I broke it down every game, broke it down, what actually happened, okay? Go check that out. And right now, of course, Kevin is in a better situation, has a better coach, has a better system. He's balling out of control. Cool. With his 15 points a game, that's great, average. And he's had some games that are better. But he also had some good games, too, with the Hawks. But he had a lot of bad games that overlapped those good games. And those bad games did not help the team at all. Because at the end of the day, he had the shots, and he didn't hit them. He had a lot of open shots, and he didn't hit them. I itemized that out in those 34 games. Go watch that video that's in the chat box right there. But, again, if anything, if Kevin had been able to do something in that Miami series, we beat Miami because of what Hunter was doing. Superstar version of Hunter was killing it in that Miami series. And if we had just had a little bit, because remember, John was playing double hurt. They had got Trey locked down, wasn't getting anything from anybody else. If Kevin as a shooting guard shot, history of the Hawks could have been a little bit different. That's all I'm saying. Now, that being said, let's get back to Hunter. I really wanted to see Hunter leap forward after getting his extension. Past the injuries, we know about the injuries, right? The injuries have been everlasting, whatever, right? But past that, we needed him to be top tier in defense and top tier in offense. He can hit all the shots on the court. He can. It's not like he can't do it. We synced it, right? We synced it. So, I mean, let me see if I can pull this up real quick. Let's see. I'm going to find it. Oh, it must be at the bottom. So here's the questions. Can Hunter be better? Should Hunter be better? And if defense is mostly on effort, why is Hunter not the best on the team? So those are things that we need to, you know, discuss and talk about. Again, actually, I hadn't checked. 646-652-4479 is the number if you choose to call in. Call in. Let's see if it works. I got a little experiment going, so I appreciate anybody who actually does check it out. Hopefully you do. I did see a couple people peek in. I know I did this last minute. I didn't do any promo for it. That's my bad. I did hit up some people directly, though, and went into some, you know, different Facebook groups, New Pack City. I went in there. So hopefully a few people will chime in. Again, if anything, hopefully you enjoy this after the fact of it being live. And then comment. Hit me back. Let me know what you think because I'll post it after the fact. I should have got me some water, but I'm about to choke to death here, y'all. So let's get back to Hunter. So let's see, where am I at here? Okay, so that's what I was going to say. So why can't Hunter do what he can do on a regular basis, each game? Why can't he contribute to all the aspects of the game at a high level? Like, what's holding him back? Because it's not injury, so let's take that out the way. For the first time in a while, for the most part, he's been not hurt. Nick here, Nick there, but he hasn't just been gone, okay? So let's break some of those things down on a one-by-one basis. And, you know, you let me know what you think, okay? Let me switch off the banner real quick because I need to put it back on the YouTube channel real quick. And there we go. And again, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page, IMTN Worldwide Radio. My next episode of Women in Business is coming up this Saturday. I have China Williams is going to be my special guest. I'm excited to have her on the show. That's going to be on Saturday at 1:30, so make sure you tune in here for that. So make sure you subscribe and forward it, share it, retweet it, things of that nature. Rebounds. Now, you know, one of the things I really, you know, take to heart in regards to, you know, winning games is being able to rebound your position properly, right? And someone said, well, actually it was Coffee who gave me a list of centers that gave certain numbers and stuff. But I'm like, I'm not talking about centers. I'm talking about small forwards. If we were talking about centers, that'd be a different conversation. But Hunter is not a center. He's a small forward. So I don't know why I got a list of centers or big men. I need a small forward to rebound his position every night. Because, see, the average of a player is he's getting that number or less most of the time to be at that average. It's typically not that number and more that creates your average. You see what I'm saying? So let's talk about rebounds a second. So right now, Hunter is at 4.2 rebounds a game. As far as small forwards go, he's 20th. At that mark, okay? So you tell me, do you believe that Hunter should be getting more rebounds than the following players? First one is, now I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm going by the actual percentages, the, you know, 4 point whatever, because at the end of the day, those points do count, those little percentage points do, those decimals, they do count as far as who's higher and who's lower, because it counts in the scoring championship too, don't it? Somebody scores 29.6 and somebody scores 29.4. The 29.6 is the one who won. There was that one night they should have scored 30 and they scored 28, and that messed them up, right? Here are the players. Here are some of the players, and these are not none of the top five, top 10 small forwards in the league I'm about to mention either. You tell me your opinion. Do you think Hunter should be better than these guys? I'm going to name them right now. Number one, at 4.4 rebounds a game, 15 minutes a night, Isaiah Jackson. The next person, who's actually on the team now, Sadiq Bey at 4.6 rebounds a game. The next person is Harrison Barnes at 4.6 rebounds a game as well. Kenrick Williams of OKC is at 4.9 in 22 minutes a game. Caleb Martin in Miami is at 4.9. Keldon Johnson of the Spurs is at 5 a game as a small forward. Slow-mo, Kyle Anderson of the Wolves is at 5.1. Michael Porter Jr., Denver Nuggets at 5.4. Torrey Craig of the Suns is at 5.5. Denny Avdija, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, is at 6.4, plays for the Washington Wizards. And then you got Kyle Kuzma at 7.2. Now, whether or not you want to put Kyle Kuzma in an elevated state and say he's a top star in the league, you can, I guess. But Kuzma gets 7.2 rebounds a game. So you're trying to tell me that Hunter shouldn't have more than any of those guys? And Hunter is 20th as a small forward in rebounds a night? I don't know. Because there's a lot of times he's not getting 4 rebounds a night. There's times he's getting 2 rebounds a game. Rebounds matter. Let's talk assists. Now, this is a big one for me. Now, my co-host, you know, Jordan Jackson, Jordan 23 ATL, I believe it is off the top of my head. I need to stop doing that. But it's been a while. I am rusty. I have said that, right? Let's put it up there. There it is. Jordan 23 ATL, I was correct. So Jordan has said a lot of times that, you know, Hunter plays like Carmelo Anthony a lot without the actual hitting the shots on a regular basis. It's one thing for Carmelo to do that because that's Carmelo's whole game. He doesn't do any of those other things. He doesn't do all those other intangibles. He's there to score. That's the job. That's cool for Carmelo, but with Hunter, he plays as if he's that person and actually hitting all those shots, and that's not the case. Okay, besides the some of those dribbles that be bouncing all over the place, we know about that, right? Get frustrated on that. And then, you know, 1 for 8 from three, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later. And then not doing anything else. So, I've always been that biggest proponent. You got to do other stuff to help your team win when you're off. You can't just voluntarily shoot your team out of a game. The other night, Sadiq Bey had went 0 for 4 from 3, and he stopped shooting threes. You even heard it from me. He said, oh, he got trigger shot. And he should, because why should he go 0 for 10? It always comes back to, how does the coach let that happen too? Sometimes shooting your way out don't do you no good when the other team is hitting shots and you're not stopping the other team from hitting shots. It's math. It's not a matter of the other team keeps hitting threes. Stop them. Play some defense. But anyway, that's another story. So that's the rebounding side. You don't think Hunter is better than any of those guys? That's a problem. Let's talk assists. Right now, he averages 1.4 assists a game. That means he's not looking at anybody. Now, I'm not going to go too far up in assists when I name these numbers, but it's still the principle of the amount of the assists, which means they're looking. So the first part, by the way, he's 27th in the league at small forward for assists per game at 1.4. 27th. The previous category, he was 20th. Okay? So, Bruce Brown, Denver, 3.3. Franz Wagner, Orlando, 3.6. Kuzma there again, 3.7. Slow-mo Kyle Anderson there again at 4.8. By the way, Bogey is listed as a small forward for some reason, I guess so. He's at 2.6. Brooks with Memphis, also at 2.6. So are we supposed to just be like, you'll just toss it away that Hunter is not better than any of those guys either, or shouldn't be better than half of those guys? And we're supposed to just suck it up and be like, eh, we'll just let Bruce Brown be better. Does that make sense? Like, he is the starting small forward on our team that got his extension. Nothing wrong with the extension. It's like I said, I didn't have a problem with Kevin getting his extension, except after that, I needed to see takeoff. I needed to see exponential. And it didn't happen. That's just assists. Let's talk about steals. As of now, he's 34 as a small forward in steals. That tells you everything you need to know right there. He's not even in the top 20. So I didn't list a whole bunch of players at that point, because what if he's a top defensive player and he's so good at defense, why is he 34th in steals per game as a wing player? Don't you know that our whole concept of being able to play on the defensive side of the ball would be different if he was getting 2 steals a night? 1.5 steals a night? Because that means he's getting deflection. That means he's slowing some people down. But he's 34th in steals as a small forward. With having someone like Murray on our team, imagine if it was Murray and Hunter. With Trey, who has picked his stuff up, he's 2 steals a night now. Imagine how the dynamic would be completely different. Right? What did I say earlier? Uh-oh, I just lost it. Can Hunter be better? Should Hunter be better? If defense is mostly effort, why is Hunter not the best on the team? Okay? So let's go to another category. Now, that was his defense. Let's talk a little bit of offense now. So here's his three-point percentage. He's 35% from three. Now, 35% is not bad, right? And is not... 35% is right there in the middle, okay, I guess you could say. John Collins, before this season, his career three-point percentage was 36%. The only person higher is Bogey at 38. So if you just go by that, that's actually okay? If that was every night he was shooting that, but that's not been the case, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later. But right now he's 26 at small four as far as the three-point percentage goes. So could he be better than that? Corey Kispert of Washington is at 42. Georges Nang in Philly is 40%. Reggie Bullock in Dallas is 38. Sam Hauser in Boston, 15 minutes a night, is at 41.8. Now, we can go into the whole rigmarole of who's a pure shooter and all that, but there's a lot of guys who you wouldn't think are high-percentage three-point shooters, and they're hitting them every night at different positions. Some of them center. But we're just talking about small forwards. So if he's feet together, straight up, and shooting, why can't he be 3 for 5 every night, or 3 for 6 for that matter, or 4 for 9 if he's going to shoot that many threes or whatever? But why is he 0 for 4, 0 for 5, 1 for 8, 2 for 8, all this kind of stuff, if it gets down to it? Especially when he's pretty proficient at that mid-range as well. Oh, well, Chris, everybody got to shoot threes. Yeah, but not if you're not hitting them. That'll do nothing but put you in a deficit every single time. Half the reasons we've lost 13 games after having a 10-point more or more lead is because of that. That's partially one of the reasons. We just go into these lulls because we just keep hitting, missing shots that we could be hitting them, but we're not. We don't do anything else to make an easier shot. We just won't do it, right? But that's where he is in regards to the landscape on the three-point side, all right? One thing I forgot about this, block shots. Now, the small forwards as a whole don't do a lot of block shots in this NBA. He's 27th, though, at the end of the day. There's 26 other people who have more blocks per game than he does. He's not top 20, not top 15, not top 10. He's 27th. So, again, when we're just talking about defense again, why isn't he, with his wingspan, better shot blocker each night? Because, again, when you're talking about comparisons to others in the league in that particular position being a very important piece of your starting lineup, that's a difference in a lot of these other teams that have had success year after year after year. They have that wing player that's dominant on that end that can shut down your guy or at least definitely slow him down. They had to take Hunter off of Spider the other night and put Murray on him. Y'all did notice that, right? That means something. It means something to me. It means something to me. Two things he is in the top echelons of small forwards. One, scoring at 15 points a night, he's 12. His field goal percentage is good. It's 46%. He's 14. And that's good, except the players that are above him are not number four picks. And that does kind of go into that again to say, okay, well, and then when I'm talking about the better, I'm talking about scoring per game. This is his fourth year with all of his intangibles. Why is he just still hovering at 13, 14, 15 points a night when he easily could be at 19, 20? He can do it. We've seen him do it. And someone said, well, he's a third scorer. Why can't we have three scorers on our team scoring 20 points a game? We used to have that. Why can't we? There's more than enough shots. Just stop shooting the stupid shots. It's more, and we could be doing that every night. And even besides that, you always can have two players hitting that 19, 20 mark. We don't have to have everybody. Trey ain't trying to score 30 points a game. He's just do it because he's just Trey. But he's trying to get 15 assists a night. We've had plenty of games where Trey didn't score a whole lot, and we're blowing teams out because everybody's eating. We know John Collins has said that every single time we have won a good game, it's because everybody was involved in the offense. We got three or four guys that can get those kind of points every night. We need him to be able to be capable of doing it if we need it to do it. That's the point. So here's some numbers for you, some numbers, all right? Keldon Johnson, Spurs, drafted 29th. He scores 22 a game. He wasn't drafted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's drafted 29th. He's getting 22 a night with the Spurs. Bojan Bogdanovic, drafted second round, pick 31. He scores 21 a game, 2.6 assists, 3.8 boards a game. Kuzma, drafted 27th. He gets 21 a night. Scotty Barnes, he scores exactly what Hunter does, 15 a night, but he also gets 6.8 boards a night. He was also drafted fourth, but that was 2 years ago. So Hunter's been in the league two more years plus, got his extension, but he's at 15 still. And not getting 6.8 boards a night. Imagine if he was getting 7 boards a night on top of everything else. It will make a difference game by game. Because, see, last year, Hunter gave the Hawks 13 or less a game. With all the games missed and everything like that, again, trying to quantify that a little bit. Because, remember, he came back right near the end of the season and got in the Miami series, basically. Right? But at a certain point, there got to be an elevation, don't you think? There should be an expectation that Hunter could be better now, right? Or are we supposed to just be like, we just won't worry about it. We just have to settle for this. But the thing is, the Hawks gave him an extension. Now, part of that also goes into how everybody's been coached up till now. How everybody's been taught or not taught by now. How everybody's not been put in the best position to succeed each and every game, each and every situation. And then having that responsibility of saying, don't do this, don't do that, that's bad. And if they still do it, something has to happen, some kind of consequence. Now, that goes a long way where this offseason is going to be the first time, I feel, that really is going to be put into play. And then we're going to hopefully see the manifestation of what we should have been having all along with everybody on the team. Fingers crossed, right? Because if not, then what in the world? Because see, we're going to continue to get outplayed by teams. It won't be an out-coaching thing. It's just going to be flat out outplayed. And that shouldn't be happening at all. It shouldn't be. So one more thing, and then I'm going to get off of here because it doesn't look like I'm going to get any callers. I haven't up till now. I got 12 minutes on the radio show, but I can continue the live stream. So by the way, 646-652-4479, if you want to call in and help me out with my experiment to see if I got this working or not, definitely do that. And I hadn't checked the chat room. My fault. I got comments in here. Let me read these off. Tori, what's up, man? Hunter doesn't look to rebound at all. He only looks to shoot. Mid just like the team record. Clint said that last game, too, about everybody eating and not coach. Yeah. Sorry, Tori. I forgot the chat room. Again, I'm rusty. This is my first show in 2 months. Doggone. Yeah. So, but one thing Torian just mentioned is he only looks to shoot. You can't be on a team, be the third scorer and only looking to shoot. Because there's other players that can hit shots better than you sometimes, and you need to be getting it to them sometimes and not turn the ball over because you're trying to do just so much. You're trying to – it's frustrating to watch it, right? And that's where the betterment has to come in to be like – and this is where, again, coaching comes into play. It's like they got to pull you to the side and be like, son, you're doing too much. I need you to get the ball to some other people. Right now you're 1-for-8 from three. Stop shooting it. It's not going in right now. And this is for anybody on the team. You can't let Murray shoot you out. You can't let Trey shoot you out. You can't let Bogey. Bogey had that 1-0-for-10 from three game. Are you kidding me? That's crazy talk. Stop it. That can't happen no more. You see what I'm saying? You can't have those 4-for-17 nights. That doesn't help the team win any games. I'm getting off track. I need to finish this up. So I mentioned Kevin getting his extension, right? And so I showed the 34 games, and I posted it in the comment section for those who want to watch it, to show here's what Kevin actually did in these 34 games, as opposed to what you think he did as far as whether or not his abilities was really helping the team win games or not. Because as a shooting guard that particular year, Trey really needed the help more than ever before because of all the injuries. Kevin was playing pretty much that whole season. John was gone for the bulk of it. So you had to have somebody else. And Kevin had to be that person as being the other shooter on the team. Go watch that video. It's really startling when I go through the first 20 games of the season and I break down what he did field goals and three-point wise, game after game after game. And all the games we lost by 10 points or less, what if he had just did this? We would win this game, win that game. We would have won that. We at least been in some games. Watch that video. It's in the chat room. But let me run down the Hunter's last 10 games just to give you a little bit of an essence of what he has done or hasn't done. Okay? So we just beat the Cavs by 2 points, right? In that game, Hunter was 3-for-12 from the field, 0-for-2 from three. We won that game by the skin of our teeth by 2 points. He was 3-for-12. The game before that, Grizzlies, we lost that game by 4 points, I believe. He was 8-for-20 in that game, 1-for-8 from three. We lost that game by 4 points, okay? Now, that Detroit game, we won that game pretty big. He was 4-for-11. You know, it is what it is. But that next game was that Spurs game. He was 5-for-12 in that Spurs game. He was 0-for-3 from three. We lost by 8 points. The next game was the Warriors game, which we stuck it out. We won by 7, but he was 5-for-12 in that game too. Right? The Timberwolves, he was 6-for-17 in that game, 0-for-5 from three. We lost 135-115. That was just a bad game by everybody, but that was Hunter's contribution to that. The next game, Boston Celtics. He was 7 for 12 in that game. Now, that's a pretty decent shooting percentage from the floor. He was 2 for 6 from 3. We lost that game by 9 points, though. Brown and Tatum had 24 and 34 points in that game as well, though. He's on one of those guys, right? By default. The next game, I believe, was the Wiz. He was 7 for 14 in that game, so that's about that 50%, right? It was 1 for 3 from 3, you know. But we lost that game by 7 points. So who was scoring on the other side of that particular game, right? The next game after that, again, the Wiz. Now, this game, we won. He was 6 for 12 in that game. He was 0 for 2 from 3, and we won that game by 2 points. And the next game, the last game, he was 6 for 13. He was 1 for 4 from 3. We lost that game by 2 points to the Heat. You see what I'm saying? I think he scored 14 points in that game. So those are his last 10 games. So those last the last 10 games we won. Let's see if I can read this real quick. We won 1, 2, 3, 4. So we won 4 out of those 10, which means we lost 6. So agree or disagree, don't you think if his games were better in those games we lost, we probably would have won those games? Translate that out for the whole season, minus the games he missed from injury. Can't count those. Although, again, we can go back to injury history again or whatever, right? But let's take that out. The games he's on the floor and healthy, is he really contributing as best he can per his talent? It'd be different if he was just terrible. And yes, number one, number two, number three, number four picks don't always work out. I've itemized that out plenty of times on the show, on Around the ATL, especially for the Hawks over the years, right? But in this case, the Hawks moved up to get the number four to get him. We needed him to be a better number four pick overall for us. And it just hasn't worked out so far. Now, can it? Again, for me, I have to say, when Torian says he has the body to attack the rim, yet rarely does it. It's few and far between, Torian. I agree with that, right? But again, can Hunter be better? Should Hunter be better? Why shouldn't we expect more? Why shouldn't we have a higher expectation with a number four pick that the Hawks gave the money to? Because can we win a championship? Can we win the East? Full tilt, everybody playing well? Heck yeah, of course we could. We were 2 games away from it 2 years ago. Not that far off. It's terrible that we're in this position. This could have been prevented, and if you've been watching the show over the last couple of years, you know everything I've said up to that point. It's hard to change old ways when nothing has been taught at all. All this stuff has to be weeded out this offseason. Completely. And then once everything has been implemented, a new offensive system and a defensive acumen and system and essence and identity, at that point, if you don't do it after that, now we got to look at the player for sure. Because now you know what to do and what you're not supposed to do, and if you're still doing it, yeah, you got to go at that point. Everybody can get it at that point. But right now, there's, like I've been saying for years, they're just out there getting cardio, no direction. 60 games, all of last year. You even had Gallo. I put it on the show a couple of months ago. Gallo saying it, man. We're just out there. We don't have no direction out here. When you got players saying stuff like that, that's bad. But anyway, I want Hunter to be the guy that he can be. He has the abilities. He can hit all the shots on the court. He can lock down players. But can he do it for every game for the 35 plus minutes that he's in there? Because again, if we are supposed to just like give up and say that the following players again, such as Keldon Johnson, Kyle Anderson, Torrey Craig, Kuzma, Kenrick Williams, Harrison Barnes is better than Hunter? That's what we're supposed to believe? That's what Bruce Brown. That's what we're supposed to believe? George's name. Reggie Bullock is better than Hunter? That Corey Kispert is better than Hunter? Keldon Johnson? That's what we're supposed to just sit and take it. Because in that case, why ain't we getting one of those guys and give them $125 million now? If that's the case, that's wrong to me. That's wrong. I need Hunter to be that number four pick and be upper echelon. He could be a top five small forward in the league, as far as I'm concerned. He can be, because he can hit all the shots, and he can play defense. He should be rebounding. He should be getting seven rebounds a night. He should be getting at least a block a night and two steals a night. Why can't we expect that of him? What's the problem of that? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. So my radio show is about to end. I got 2 minutes there. I think I'm going to go ahead and just end that. So let's do that. For those who've been listening on the radio version, appreciate listening. Make sure you go to iHeartRadio or Spotify or Spreaker or Apple Podcasts, Alexa, to listen to past episodes of Around the ATL. And, of course, subscribe to the YouTube channel on IMTN Worldwide Radio on YouTube. Appreciate y'all listening. All right, so.